You're listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. I snuggle into a creekside stump to the sweet smell of whitecaps, cascading in a blather downstream, rumbling over, around, and under, a plethora of rocks and stones, resting in all shapes and modest sizes. A creek extracts the peace in one's soul, like gently squeezing a pea from its pod. Soon I shall leave, my stomach rumbling to the setting sun, casting long shadows over short distances, while the creek fixates as the cute girl winking for the last dance. I just love being around water, just the sound of it, the smell of it, what's attracted to it. I feel at peace when I'm around water. What about you, Dennis?
I do as well. Whether it's like, I don't know, being able to jump into it or like find enjoyment directly from it, or like, I don't know, what I dig a lot about is like, it's some really cool like ecosystems around water, like where we're standing right now. I don't know, get just like birds all around us, and you feel, yeah, I don't know, very much immersed in the environment around you, which is a cool thing that water is able to bring about.
Cool. I'm here with Dennis, right? And the sun is hitting this perfectly, and it's almost like pixelated. You can almost like see the pixels of this like mossy type flower, and I came over and touched it. And Dennis is going to touch it and give us his scientific opinion.
I don't know about scientific opinion, but it's spongy and it's cool. Like, you see like moss on the trees all the time, and it's neat, but like this is like right on the water, and so it soaks up water. And so like anytime you're like touching it, like water's kind of coming off of it. It kind of reminds me of like sea anemones on the shoreline, because like you like press onto those and they like kind of compress and like pull your finger in. And this is like, I don't know, kind of somewhat the same way, in just being like spongy, and it feels like a similar consistency.
It's like nature's chamois cloth.
Very, very much so.
Guillermo Mash here, welcoming you to tonight's Imagining Community and Triumph of Joy segments with musical guests, the Bidwells, on your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM. We opened the show with a poem I penned in January while visiting Alligator Hole and Upper Bidwell Park as I began the journey to immerse myself in watersheds for our Imagining Community year-long series on water. We followed that with a field recording on Big Chico Creek with Dennis Finger, a molecular environmental biologist and scientific aide with the California Department of Water Resources. Dennis has seen a lot during his 18 months in Butte County, including an eye-to-eye encounter with a tree-climbing bear and viewing 180 migrating bald eagles in just a few hours' time near Lake Orville. We're also debuting a series on personal and group wellness for activists and advocates, featuring a porch session with farmer and cultural activist Eric Chisler, discussing our deeply rooted need to belong within healthy and supportive group dynamics. So Eric Chisler, who are you as a sentient being as it relates to wellness and being whole and present for group dynamics and working with others?
You know, wellness is an interesting concept because it implies its opposite. And I think, especially in the time and place that we live in, everybody is carrying traumas. So I think maybe that's the proper place to start. I'll start with the trauma that existed in the world when I was born. I was born in 1983, the same year the Nintendo was created, the Nintendo Entertainment System. And in line with the world that Nintendo birthed, I have always suffered from a lack of belonging. I was adopted when I was a month old, and I would say that's kind of set the pace for the rest of my life, living with this deep-seated knowledge that I didn't necessarily belong where I was. And I think that has been the through line in all of the movements and wellness-oriented activities that I've done in my life has been trying to claw back to this original belonging that I felt like I was missing.
We close the hour with this month's The Triumph of Joy segment featuring Kizmo Macoubre, writer, voiceover artist, and video producer who shares what joy means to her and how she actuates happiness through a book she is writing. After a break for our underwriters, voiced over Sasquatch Behind the Rain featuring the Bidwells with Loki Miller, we bring you season 2021, episode 1 of Water with Dennis Finger and Guillermo, kicking it in Upper Bidwell Park here on People Power Radio. Tonight's Imagining Community segment is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. Also made possible by Dahlmeier Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeier Insurance provides a range of coverage options, from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dahlmeier Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Orville at 533-3424. Catch them online at chicoinsurance.com. So we're here with Dennis Finger in Upper Bidwell Park, just outside of Big Chico Creek. Welcome to KZFR, Dennis Finger.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here and excited to be talking with you, Guillermo.
I've never done an interview before where someone's got their birding glasses out and they're just darting around while they're talking. It's kind of fun. You know, so if you see anything, feel free to interrupt and just like toss that in there. So you get your bird app out, huh? Dennis, you see a bird that you might not know or recognize? What's going on?
Yeah, so we're here in the Big Chico Creek and there's a like bird across the way from us that's like just perched right above the water. It's like black, white, and gray. And it looks different from what I've like ever seen before. And I feel like I know a lot of the birds up here. So I'm like going in this free app I have called Merlin and like trying to figure out like feeding in some information and trying to figure out what it is.
Now, if we were close enough to get the bird call without the sound of the creek, would it be able to determine it?
I would probably be able to like figure out, like hear it and then play the calls on the app, like for each of the birds. And yeah, so we'd probably have an idea, but like here we are, it's like we've got the creek all up in our ears. So I just did the search on my phone and it is a bird that I've seen before, but it's a cool one. So it's called a northern mockingbird, which, yeah, so it has this white chest, gray head, and, like, it's about, like, the size of a robin. Yeah, black, white, and gray. And so it's somewhat common here, but it's still a cool bird. Unlike a lot of birds, they can, like, make, like, up to, like, 20 different, like, calls, and they can, like, mimic things that they hear. And so they can, like, mimic, like, car horns or, like trucks backing up. And so
they mimic human-made sounds?
Yeah, so human-made sounds or, like human, like, I don't know, human created sounds, like, yeah, like trucks or anything. Like they have their own natural calls too, or songs, but they're unique and they're called a mimid. So a bird that can like mimic sounds that they hear. And so, yeah, they're able to recreate most of the sounds that we're able to make, which is pretty neat.
But anyway, Dennis, get our listeners a little familiar with, you know, who you are as a person and how much you love being outdoors, doing what you do.
So I work for the California Department of Water Resources as a fish and wildlife scientific aide. I moved up here to Chico about a year and a half ago. I'm in this kind of like line of work now because I've gotten into environmental studies and like learning about the environment and the ecosystem. When I was in school, especially, like I had a few classes where I just got to like go outside and like try to learn about like all the birds and plants and reptiles and amphibians around us and try to like figure out what they were and like how they interact with other species. And that, like, I was just totally enthusiastic about that and about being able to do that like as a school class and like potentially as a job. And that made me want to pursue field biology and environmental studies as a career. And so like coming out of school, yeah, I was interested in like getting into this line of work. Yeah, I was looking for a field biology job and found this gig with the Department of Water Resources that gave me an opportunity to be outside a lot and study the natural world a lot. And that's kind of how I came up here to Chico.
You had a cool story as we were walking about your experience in Upper Bidwell. Tell our listeners what you saw and how excited you were.
Yeah, sure thing. So I was up mountain biking on the Annie Bidwell Trail on the south side of the creek. I'd like never been out that far before. I think it was past one of the big water holes, and I just like found this cool spot and decided to like get off my mountain bike, and I like climbed up one of the canyon walls that you find on either side of the creek there. Just had to do some like scrambling to get up to, yeah, this like pinnacle, this like beautiful overlook of the creek. And so I was like kind of sitting there, closed my eyes for a little while to kind of like meditate and get like touch with like where I was right then. And then as I was doing that, like my eyes closed, I heard this rustling off to my right side, which is like kind of close to where the creek is. And I look over there, and there's a tree that's like at my eye level, even though it's down below me. And I see that like 20 or 30 feet up this tree at my eye level, there's a black bear just like climbing up this tree, like going super fast. And I was totally shocked about it. And like, really, I was really, really excited to see that. And that was like right when I was new to Chico, and that was a pretty cool introduction to being in town.
You're just so passionate about these outdoor stories, you know. Why don't you get our listeners familiar with what your job is here in Butte County and how excited you are on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to be doing it?
Yeah, sure thing. In like working for the Department of Water Resources, like a lot of what I do and what my office does is we study, learn about, monitor, and protect a lot of the environment and biological resources, especially around Oroville, around Lake Oroville. And so a lot of what I do is doing some of the monitoring projects for the species and ecosystems that are around the lake and around the Feather River that comes off of Oroville. And so there's, I guess, a few highlights that we do every year when like annually these activities come about. So one is doing vernal pool surveys, which happen in the springtime. Vernal pools are this really cool like water formation that happens where they're seasonal pools that form that certain species are able to grow there and nothing else, because they can survive in water and in dried conditions. And so we'll go out and like monitor these pools, see their conditions, and also look at all the different types of like flowers that are there, all these types of beautiful flowers. So it's very cool to go out and like monitor those. Another cool project is we do salmon surveys in the fall when salmon runs come up the Feather River. We'll go out and do carcass surveys. What we do is we do like a population count of salmon that come upstream, and so it involves like going up in boats and counting all the dead salmon that come down, because you can have an idea of how many salmon that there are from that. And it's pretty cool to like take part in that experience. It is somewhat of like messy work. I guess my favorite part of the job is taking part in bald eagle surveys, because we have 7 pairs of nesting bald eagles on Lake Oroville and on the Feather River, and they're protected under California Endangered Species Act, and that's kind of why we're involved in studying them. What we do is we'll go out in the wintertime to look for new eagle nests, and then throughout the spring and summer to see the progress of those nests. So what we'll see is we get young chicks that have hatched, and we see them grow up and see like check on the status of the nests regularly and get to see a lot of birds and get to see what's kind of a productive ecosystem. And I'm totally jazzed for the opportunity to like, yeah, be able to go out and do this regularly.
Maybe for the listeners that are excited as you are kind of hearing what you have to say, you know, maybe give a little insight on how folks could get the education and a foothold in doing the similar kind of work.
So, I mean, the first way, quite frankly, to like get involved with it is go outside. Like, go for a hike, go, I don't know, cool areas around you. It could be your local park. It could be up in Bidwell Park where we're hanging out right now. And go out and observe the world around you. Like, go to what calls you. Like, if, I don't know, you see a cool bird, like, go take a look at it. Like, try to figure out what it is. Try to learn the plants around you if that's what's interesting. So first thing is just, like, foster your own natural curiosities. Get out to beautiful areas. The way that I guess I got involved in it, like, more so is, like, taking classes in school. So started in, like, I guess, biology classes in high school, where I was interested in like learning about science and like learning about how, like how to make observations about the natural world and try to figure out possible answers to questions. And coming into college, that was more and more my interest. And then I took a few really cool field classes where I would go out and do biology studies, do studies on birds or plants or other wildlife. And they really like helped me learn about wildlife studies and about ecology. So for folks that are interested in it, I would totally recommend taking courses that you're interested in and that help you get into beautiful areas. And I know there's a lot of really cool classes that the Chico State offers that allow a lot of students there to learn more about the world around them.
We're talking with Dennis Finger, who's a scientific aide for the Department of Water Resources. I would be remiss if I didn't ask the follow-up question of what use are all of these scientific studies? What happens with all this work you're documenting along with your cohorts here in Butte County? Where does it go and what does it do?
One like of the like underlying reasons why we do a lot of this work is because there are a number of endangered or threatened species that live in the areas around us that have key roles in the ecosystems, and that it's important to go out and learn about them and study them and see how they fit into the world around us. And so it's valuable to go out and like learn about these areas and make sure that these ecosystems can persist. And that's one of the, I don't know, values in our work, is like going out into these areas and doing repeated surveys so we have kind of a record of species that are there at a certain point of time so that hopefully we can kind of work to protect them.
All right, we're looking at mud. What do you got?
We're looking at mud. So like, I don't know, any like muddy patches, but especially right by the stream, you can find like tracks of different animals. So I'm just like looking here to see what we can kind of see. So there's like one print right here. It's pretty cool looking. I think it's a dog because it has like these claws on it. Whereas like cats, they have like they can retract their claws, so it wouldn't be like a bobcat, for example. So that's likely a dog. You see like this one right here that has like two long tracks like parallel from each other. Probably a deer coming down here to the water. And as far as like why they matter, why we should continue doing that, is in part because they have inherent roles to play in the ecosystems. Bald eagles, for example, are some of the keystone predators that you have in Oroville, and if they're removed from the system, that has drop down effects that can affect the rest of the community around there. And a lot of them have value for humans, for recreation, and for protecting some of the resources that we care about and value, whether economically or recreationally or intrinsically.
Maybe give us a story of one memorable day out in the field, what you saw and how you would describe it.
Yeah, great question. So the one that comes to mind was an eagle survey that we did last year. Yeah, so in early 2020, during winter, when it's bald eagle midwintering season, where there's a number of eagles that will come down to this area from Oregon and Washington and Alaska because we have more mild winters than they do. And so they will roost or hang out at the lake. They have better conditions there than where they'd be. And so cool effect of that is that we have a ton of bald eagles here that come in the winter. And so last year we went out to go do a survey, or to do a couple surveys of the eagles. And a couple of my coworkers had gone on a survey a few days before that I didn't go on, and they saw 60 bald eagles like flying over their heads early in the morning coming over the lake. Then we did a follow-up survey a few days later that I was on. We like hiked up to this point super early in the morning. We were out there at like 6 a.m. because the eagles will fly down the lake at the first crack of dawn. So we're standing out there, and then we start to see, like as the sun comes up, like wave after wave of eagles passing over us. And so there's like a group of like five will come by, and then a group of 10, and then a group of like 20 birds. And we're like trying to like keep track of them all and like point out and like count all the birds that we see in the sky. And so kept coming for like over the course of like an hour or two and like in separate waves. And so over the course of the morning, over like 3 hours, we were able to see 180 eagles all coming over our heads. And that was one of the highlights that I've had for sure while I've been up here working on the job.
Wow, I can't even imagine that. Are they migrating here? Are they just stopping by to get a drink in Orville Lake? What were so many eagles doing in one spot at that time of year?
They're basically spending their winters down here. They'll go back up to Oregon and Washington and Alaska to breed and like have nests in the summertime, but they're just down here for the winter, where we have like good conditions and a lot of fish in Lake Orville that they'll go and prey upon. And then come summertime, a lot of those other birds will, or most of those birds will fly back up north. And
And then we have the seven pairs of birds that we have nesting around are like, we'll stick around.
It's been a lot of fun, Dennis, just hanging out a little bit up here with you. How would you describe a turkey vulture for our listeners?
Turkey vultures, they're a pretty big bird, kind of like common up here in Northern California. They got like pretty like small head that's like red and kind of like wrinkled looking, and these big old wings. So they're the ones that you'll see up in the sky. They're the biggest ones a lot of the time. Like, wings are probably like 4 or 5 feet across, and they'll like wobble in the sky. It looks like they're kind of like drunk while they're there, but it's like their like wings are just moving with the wind. They're getting kind of like caught up in the wind. There are a bunch of places where like the wind kind of comes up on mountains. Like, you'll have an updraft, and like a lot of like raptors will like hang out in those areas because they can go like like get higher up in the air. Yeah, they'll like able to just kind of like play around there. Some of the like bald eagles that we have like in Oroville, for example, like you'll see them up on these ridges where they can just like soar for long periods of time without needing to flap, because they have these like the thermals, this wind lifting them up.
Maybe a good closing question would be, when you hear the term water and how it reflects of your view of the world as a person and your view of the world as someone that's a scientific aide, what would you say?
Water has such a broad value for us. Like, I know, as an individual, I think I like value having access to clean water regularly, whether that's turning on the faucet or being able to, I don't know, live in an area that I know will have safe water. Coming from that too is the fact that we can grow food, and that like water allows us to have food at our easy access. But the other side that I find to be super valuable is the wilderness value and the wildlife value that comes from water, wildlife and vegetation that you get from waterways. Where we are right now in the Big Chico Creek, we see a skyline of trees that are lining the river on either side. We're sitting on the roots of a big pine tree that's been able to probably draw water from this watershed, as well as all this vegetation that comes here. We're seeing all these birds. We mentioned the hawk that swooped down earlier. There's a spotted towhee, which is this like black and orange bird that came down
just now.
Yeah. Like, came down too. And so water is a like, it's unique in that, like, I don't know, we need it for life, and we need it, but like plants need it, wildlife needs it too. And so it kind of draws us all together, and it's cool to sit here and be able to observe it and like take in some of the human value, but also the environmental value that it provides as well.
If you're to be able to share it with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to describe, but hopefully able to foster some of that appreciation and encourage more folks to get out here as well.
Yeah. We saw what looked like a hawk. I identified it because of the way it was swooping, gliding and swooping.
Yeah, totally. And it was a like big bird too, and like you'll see them like swoop down in a kind of U-shape before they go like land on a tree, and that's totally what we saw.
Is there anything that you'd like to discuss right now that we haven't already talked about as it relates to the environment and water?
We have been able to touch on a lot. I think I'd just like to hammer home the value that water and waterways bring to ecosystems and to natural world, and that I think like having creeks like this or waterways across the state, across the country, just brings so much ecological value and biodiversity, and then human enjoyment of the ecosystem. The value that waterways give us, that I get to see through my job to an extent, and that everyone else is able to see in this like beautiful creek that we have running through the center of our town.
There's no way forward without waterways.
There really isn't. We need water to survive. It's going to continue to be necessary for us, and we live in a great, great part of the world for that.
Hi, my name is Samantha Francis.
And my name is Ben Ruttenberg.
And we are the Bidwells. We just heard from Dennis Finger. He is a wildlife scientific aide with the California Department of Water Resources. We'd like to thank him for his love and care of NorCal's watershed and habitat.
Next up, we're going to hear our song, Summer's in My Hometown, from our debut album, Anywhere You Take Me, here on your community-powered radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM.
I miss the summers in my hometown, and everything would slow down, and the trees would lend relief from the heat of the sun, with shade enough for everyone.
I it's the summers in my hometown. And when the sun would go down, the sky would glow, it envy us below. And I miss it so. Certainly nice to know that I can go. And it's certainly nice to know that I can go. I miss the winter's bath where I'm from, 'cause I never felt so lonesome, listening to the rhythm as the rain would fall. Hell, I miss it all.
Big ups for tonight's musical guest, the Bidwells, and their righteous track you just heard, Summers in My Hometown, off their debut album, Anywhere You Take Me. Check them out at thesingingbidwells.com. Next up is an Imagining Community conversation on wellness and group dynamics with farmer and cultural activist Eric Chisler here on Peepaw Radio.
Guillermo Mash here with one of my 2021 series called Wellness Movement Culture, and I'm really pleased. The first person I'm going to interview is a good friend and fellow comrade, Eric Chisler. Welcome to KZFR, Eric Chisler.
Hey, Guillermo, I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you, Eric. Here we are outside. I call this the porch. So when you hear the terms porching session from Steve Marquant, this is where we'd be. How do you like the porch?
It's wonderful. All porches are good.
What we're going to do is I'm just going to read this and they'll stop and get your comment. Our group is oftentimes helping an outside group, people that we don't necessarily know. It would be nice if it was more mutual, like guilds, which are helping their own members. And that's Lincoln on mutual aid for the group, the mutual aid group. What's your comments around that?
Well, I try to approach everything like the wisdom of an ecosystem is the eyes we should be looking through. And an ecosystem is always trying to reciprocate the gifts that are offered to it with the gifts that it has. And when there's a disconnect between the people who are on the receiving end and the people who are on the giving end of any interaction, there's going to be a bottom that drops out of the community structure and the ability to continue being there for each other in a consistent and stable way.
So I've got a 3-paragraph outline here. I'm going to read the first 2 paragraphs, get your comment, and then we'll land on the whole idea of making sure that people that are showing up in a group are getting their needs met. But here's what I wrote. Working groups in the advocacy and activism sphere must, ideally at the onset, lay the foundation for the health and wellness of their members. Healers and listeners are the framework for success. Without a wellness foundation, groups splinter with frequent additions and subtractions amid unnecessary tension and lack of trust and inclusiveness. Everyone working alongside and on the sidelines must feel worthy and comforted in the knowledge that the group has their back and cares about them as a human being. Groups should embed mutual aid within their group to assist with the acquisition of provisions and services that enhance the wellness of their members. What's your thoughts around that?
My first thought on it is we so frequently in this culture insist upon being our own healers. We insist on, you know, quote unquote, looking within, you know, doing the quote work to take care of yourself. And really, I think the people in our community are the guarantors of our health. And in order to be able to get the health which we're seeking, whether that be in relationships, whether that be in our personal life, or in the way that we're transacting in a movement, we need to consistently be wondering, how is the way that I treat or meet the needs of another person me also guaranteeing my health? And I think that's crucial lens to look through. So when a community group insists upon reciprocity and mutual aid, it's really insisting that the individuals are taken care of and accounted for in a way that supports every other individual being taken care of and held accountable.
The last paragraph, this includes new member orientation that focuses first and foremost on why a person is willing to give time and resources towards the group effort. Once facilitated, it's the group's responsibility to plug the person into the cause in a manner that gives them satisfaction and worthiness, as well as contribution. Even if this means creating new positions and tasks within the group. I intentionally kept it short and brief. I didn't want to get into a dissertation, but that kind of laid out the idea that I had around this wellness movement culture. And what do you think about how important it is for people to feel plugged in and belonging in a group as who they are?
We could say that belonging is the foundation of all other things in life. Belonging is the impetus inside of us, which pushes us towards being part of something. I like to lean on my teacher's understanding, Stephen Jenkinson, and he says belonging in its deep etymological historical roots is the intensification of your longing for something. And longing is our unquenchable desire to be met. And I think when you center that desire in someone's heart as the basis for a movement, as the basis for a group, as the basis for a friendship, you're essentially stoking their willingness to be alive and to show up and to give their gifts. And I don't think that there's any other way that somebody can give their gifts besides being fed the long and arduous task of belonging. If what a person shows up for is the thing in their heart that makes them feel like they belong, then the group relies on those needs being met.
Once again, Guillermo Mash here, KZFR, speaking with Eric Chisler here on Monday, the 1st of February. One thing I want to add, a couple of personal stories, was when I first started Without a Roof, Eric, I did some research around the whole group dynamics. I'd never kind of started a nonprofit, not even a nonprofit, just an organized group. I'm not a nonprofit. I never really started a group, an activism group per se. I've got a lot of background working at HP in program project management, change management, interpersonal relationships. But anyway, I kind of gravitated to a lot of studies I was doing to say it's extremely important when someone connects with a group. It's important to know what the group's doing, but it's important to know why folks are connecting with the group. And I think the number was 14. This one, there's different dynamics, or there's different disciplines. You can look at different lists about helping people to facilitate why they're in a group. But I actually had to add one, and I had to add one as being a storyteller, someone that was documenting and doing video and audio and written word and photography to get my creative side met. If I wasn't able to do that for what I did for Without a Roof, you never would have heard of Without a Roof. I'd have been burned out and gone like years ago. There's just absolutely no way I could have kept moving forward. So I think for a group, it's extremely important when people join that they feel not only just feel connected, but they got to be honest with themselves and the group of why they're showing up. Because if they can't be honest with themselves about why they're showing up, then the group's not going to know why they're showing up, and they won't be able to support them. You know, any thoughts around that?
Look, a group exists for one reason. We think it's to achieve a goal, but it's really to be a locus for people to be met and to have a community that reinforces the values that are central to them. So for the ability of a group to be able to proceed at all, I think is directly connected to people being able to express what they need in such a fashion that everybody in the group can acknowledge that, take it in, and say, well, that's now one of the missions of our group, is to meet that particular need. And I would question any group that finds that they, quote, don't need somebody who shows up at the table. I think that's a sign of an unhealthy vision. If there's no room for each person and their needs to be brought to the center of the circle for a minute and combined with the rest of the collective will and dream of the individuals and of the collective.
The backstory of why I chose to speak with Eric Chisler today was, probably, let's just say it was 3 years ago. That's close enough. About 3 years ago, Eric was at a brilliantly facilitated workshop, well attended. It must have been 20 people up in Kev Killian's space here in Chico. And it was maybe the eighth meeting of a group called Insert Food Revolution. And Eric had made, you had made a comment, Eric, to the group that we need to pause right now and take a look around the group and at ourselves and talk about why we're here. Because if we don't focus on that, a couple of weeks from now, people won't be showing up. I was involved with every single meeting to that point and saw the group dissolve within a few weeks. And I truly do believe it was because of this dynamic that we're talking about right now. What would you add to all of that?
You know, one of the important pieces of context was we were vacillating back and forth as a group between this urge to get something done and this urge to be in a space together and to spend time together and to know each other. And the resolution never seemed to appear. And I believe what I was saying during that moment was, if we don't take account of who's in the room and why they're here, why they're deeply here, neither one of these things is going to happen. We'll never be able to rest into a space of enjoying each other and having camaraderie. And we'll also never get anything done because we will be at cross purposes with each other. And even when the purposes are personal and not social, because we were a group that was dedicated to looking at things like climate change and injustices against homelessness and racism and the rest of it, You know, if you have one person in a group has shown up because they were deeply hurt by some sort of instance of racism in their life, and that issue hits them deep in their heart, and they're showing up to be seen and heard and valued on the basis of that concern, then it has to enter the center of the circle. And if there's somebody there who's simply trying to not be alone while doing something meaningful, then that has to be there too. And it can't be an either or. It has to be a synthesis of all of the desires of the group, mm-hmm, towards some sort of communal goal. And you can't share space together with somebody you don't know. You can make statements, you can have conversations, but you can't be together, really, mm-hmm, unless you know what somebody will open up for. And I think that's what needs do. When you're able to express your needs to a group, you're able to say, this is what will open me up. This is what will make the gifts pour out of my body and my hands and benefit all of us. Will you hear me? Will you draw me in? And when we live in a culture such as this one that's highly individuated and everybody is deeply concerned with their personal needs, the ability for that to become more ambiguous by everybody showing how needy they are, I think that we come to a process of being humbled and connecting through our humility into the ability to meet those needs for each other. Mm-hmm. Because we see somebody that we care about and that has the same struggle that we do, that I have a personal need and I require a world for it to be met, and that the relationships I build are the only thing that are going to allow those needs to be met. Mm-hmm. And then the relationships really have a chance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what these groups are all about, is building relationships that have a chance and then letting our values express through those relationships.
You just heard from farmer and cultural activist Eric Chisler on our Imagining Community series premiere segment on wellness movement culture. Next up, a word from our underwriters, followed by tonight's The Triumph of Joy segment with Kizmo Macoubre, a local writer, voiceover artist, and video producer here on your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM. Tonight's Triumph of Joy segment is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Feather River Recreation and Park District in Orrville, enriching lives through parks and recreation. The district is currently offering licensed preschool care, gymnastics programs, martial arts, and fitness classes. For details, visit frrpd.com or give them a call, 530-533-2012. Also made possible by Duffy's Tavern on the corner of 4th and Main in Chico for over 30 years. Duffy's is now open for pickup and delivery service from 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday and Saturday nights. Go to duffystogo.com or call 530-343-7718 to pre-order. Follow Duffy's on Instagram and Facebook for updates. Stay safe. And here's to another 30 years. Alrighty, we're back with Kizmo Macoubre, a local writer, voiceover artist, and video producer, who is our Triumph of Joy segment this month. And welcome to KZFR, Kizmo Macoubre.
Hi, it's good to be on the show.
So in your sneak peek interview, Kizmo, you had talked about the triumph of joy is more than happiness. Can you give our listeners a few personal examples of the differences between joy and happiness in your life?
Well, in my life, I do a lot of things. You know, I go to work, I raise my kids, I worry about bills. And then other times I have things where I don't worry and things are going along well and I'm happy and I seem like I'm content. But I think sometimes when you slow down, you realize that you're not really happy. Like there's moments when you're happy, that your heart's not really joyful. During my struggle, like what I'm writing about in my book, is how I came to understand I wasn't really happy and that I needed to do things that were more joyful in my life so that I could be more at peace with myself. And as far as examples, to me, the small moments of joy are really the things that stick in my mind more than big events. Like when I'm down and someone says to me, oh, you have a pretty smile, or, you know, I like that colorful flower in your hair. And those are the things that you really remember. Like the first time that your children say something amazing, it just sparks a deep burning flame in your heart. And I think that I was so busy trying to be successful and do all these things that I wasn't really being joyful. So the moment that turned for me is my daughter died in childbirth, and it really brought me down to the deepest part of my soul and made me really sad. And so I had to learn how to be joyful in the middle of something that was really dark.
Yeah, that's must be a really difficult thing to overcome. You know, losing a child is always hard to overcome, and in childbirth must have been very devastating. How long ago was that, Kizmo, for our listeners?
It was in the 80s. And so the book I'm writing about, actually before that, you know, what led up to that moment and then what happened after that, you know, how I overcame it. That's basically the crux of it and how I learned how to be deeper spiritually. Cécile de Bron says that sorrow is joy unmasked. And so when you have a deep cataclysmic experience, it unmasks the sorrow. And from there, you can heal and find joy.
Can you tell us more about the book and the joy the process of writing brings you?
I think everyone has a story. And sometimes expressing that story helps you feel better and helps you grow and helps others grow as well. As far as the story, it was a journey where I entered into a kind of a paranormal world where I got to experience things from walks of life. I met psychic readers and people who did tarot and Christian spiritualists, and I absorbed a lot of information and ideas about, you know, the right ways to live life, or beyond just being here and going to work. And some of them I experimented with, and they didn't really make me happy, and I guess I thought they were going to. So I had to learn how to turn that into the things that were basic, true, and absolute, at least absolute for me. And that brought about joy because it released me from a lot of things I believed that weren't true and taught me things that I hadn't yet learned that were true.
What are some of the right ways to live your life that you've learned through this process of looking back and writing this book?
I say one of the best tools, but sometimes it's also the hardest, is to face yourself and be honest with yourself. A lot of times who we are and what we're doing don't match. And reflecting upon who you are and your purpose to God or the universe, or, you know, you should always keep that with you. I like to think of life like a suitcase and pinch your heart and say, if I had to leave today, if I were going to move tomorrow, what would I put in the suitcase? What are the things that I want to bring with me? A little bit of room in that suitcase. So you can't fill it full of everything, but you have to fill it full of the things that are meaningful to you. And so I feel like if you, you know, sit down and take the time to look at yourself and the truth about yourself and put the things in the suitcase that you really want and leave some of the other stuff alone or at home, then that helps you be on the path to joy.
So you also mentioned that along your journey, you found beliefs that weren't true. Can you elaborate on maybe one or two of those beliefs?
I didn't understand the fine line between paranormal and supernatural. I didn't really realize there was a difference. You know, I did a psychic reading and it came out to be true, and I thought that was really cool. And then I was shown some other things. Like some people did tarot, some people did symmetrics where you just touch something and you can see things. And it's really more so on the paranormal side than supernatural. Supernaturals are more like a spiritual experience.
Well, folks that's joining, we are talking with Kizmo McCoubrey, a local writer, voiceover artist, and video producer, this month's segment for Triumph of Joy here on your community radio station, KZVR 90.1 FM. Maybe for our listeners and perhaps for myself, paranormal and supernatural, the difference between them.
I like to look at it like this. Paranormal is often something that I'm trying to do or I'm reaching out to do or I'm attempting to do, where supernatural is an experience that happens to me that I didn't really expect. So in my life, when my daughter died, I was very sorrowful and I started thinking some really dark thoughts. I needed help. I felt like I was in a well and I needed to get out. And I knew I couldn't get out myself. So I went into a deep prayer and I had a conversation with God. And a gentle spirit type of conversation. It's like, you know, there's a beam coming through a window and you see sunlight streaming in and you see everything. And all of a sudden you become calm and peaceful. And, you know, a question moves in your heart about what is it that you really want in life? What is it that, you know, would make you joyful? And I thought, well, what would make me joyful? Well, I always want to be able to be, you know, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have a terrible disease. I want to have something that allows me to work and produce and be successful. You know, I would like to carry that with me. And I would like to have a really deep, intimate relationship with God. That's what I really want, because I really want to know if he's real. I really want him to speak to my heart. I really want to see things in a different way.
So can you tell our listeners about your spiritual beliefs?
Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a fundamental Christian. I'm just a Christian that believes that, you know, as you think, so you do. So your actions are not separated from the things that you believe. I always believe that a true Christian will make a situation right. They will apologize. They will recompense you. They will encourage you, you know, and that's a part of my belief system. I believe in doing that. You know, I believe in trying to be have pure relationships with people.
Perhaps you have a profound spiritual moment that occurred in your life that you want to share at this moment?
Yeah, I did. It's a part of my story, and it's like, I was trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with my life? Like, why are things so crazy? Like, things happen and they're bad and they're bad. Of course, it's always good with the bad. But it seemed at that time in my life that more things were bad. So I started contemplating why, what's wrong, what are you doing, how are you thinking? And it led me on a journey that of a series of circumstances. And I realized that this person that had been in my life had been transacting these bad things, but I hadn't been able to see them as doing that. And so the spiritual experience is that spirit of negativity, spirit of the devil, negative energy came to me and said, yeah, I have been trying to influence your life in this way. And now finally, you know, you recognize it. It was a seductive spirit that just kind of wanted me to give up on being good and being happy and being fulfilled. Like, just be dark, just be serious, just, you know, be sad about your daughter. I was like, wow, I didn't even know you existed. Like, you know, it's hard to see bad in things sometimes. Maybe we don't want to. I'm not really sure.
All right, Kizmo, maybe a closing comment and perhaps shed some light on how you think our listeners might be able to bring joy into their life.
Bring joy by following the truth. And the truth is eternal, and it's one of the infinites. And true truth is true for everyone, everywhere. So stick to your joy, stick to your truth, and go deep down inside and make sure you're being honest and living those things out.
That's a boom. I love that.
Hi, my name is Samantha Francis.
And my name is Ben Ruttenberg.
And we're the Bidwells. Thank you to KZFR for allowing us to be your musical guests.
We'll be back on KZFR for the Studio 416 segment on February 13th for a very special Valentine's Day weekend show.
We'll be sharing some music by some of our favorite local artists that is sure to get you into the Valentine's Day spirit.
All while telling the story of how Samantha and I became partners both musically and romantically.
We'll be closing out the show with a song from our debut album, Anywhere You Take Me. This is Hold Every Little Part by the Bidwells.
Thanks so much for listening.
Closer to your heart, leave me breathless with how much you care for me. Whisper in my ear how you'll be there for me. Hold every little part of me.
Be sure to listen to the Bidwells Valentine's Day Studio 416 show Saturday, February 13th at 1:30 p.m. here on your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM. Tonight's Imagining Community premiere was inspired by Jimmy Brobeck, water policy analyst with Aqua Alliance. Lindsay Wood, Executive Director at the Plumas Audubon Society, and the peaceful and loving presence of Diane Suzuki. Learn more about Imagining Community on Facebook and check out the Triumph of Joy blog at thetriumphofjoy.blog. Until the next time, always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.